Begin the current top Masechet Baba Metzia Daf Kav Zayin. Begin 5 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous Daf, which was discussing this title of this parak, which the Mishnah said talking about Hamakabal Stad the Mechaver. If someone receives, he rents a field from his friend. So then there are certain unique halachas. One of them was that if he had made up that he's going to plant a certain type of grain or a certain type of produce, could he change to plant something else? So the Tanna Kamma held, if it's going to take from something that's not as damaging to the ground and to plant something that is going to be more damaging, let's say from barley to wheat, that you can't do. But from something like wheat to barley, which actually may benefit the field, so that you could do. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel, he disagreed. He says, no, you never let it change, as we discussed that on the top of this Amud, continuing from the previous Daf. So that the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Tavua, if he had made up to plant grain, Lo Yizra and the Kitnes, V'chulu says, not let it plant legumes, beans, because those things are harsher on the ground. And since he made up a certain amount of rent, and it's a certain type of product, you can't go ahead and plant something that's going to be more detrimental for the land or the landowner. Now the Gemara brings that Masni le Rav Yehuda le Ravin. Rav Yehuda had taught to Ravin this halacha of the Mishnah as follows. He told him that Tavua, if they had made up to plant grain, Yizra and the Kitnes, he's allowed to plant legumes. So Malay, so Rabban said to Rav Yehuda, but Vahanantanam, within our Mishnah, that Tavua lo Yizra and the Kitnes. If they made up to plant grain, he's not allowed to go ahead and plant legumes. How are you teaching me that you are allowed to? So Malay, so Rav Yehuda said to him, look, Kasha, it's not a difficulty. Ha, Lan. This that I was telling you, the halacha, if they made up Tavua, he could plant kitnes, is for us in Bavel. Vahaluhu, the Mishnah, well, the Tanoim were in Eretz Yisrael, which is a place that's mountainous region. There you have to be concerned that the earth is going to get weakened and dried up. But we live in Bavel. That's a place which is swampy. It's very fertile, the ground, very wet. And therefore, there's never a concern, really, of weakening and drying up the ground. So therefore, you could change and deviate whatever product you want to plant on the ground, from kitnes to tvua, from tvua to kitnes. Now, Reb Shimon, he holds its usur even in Bavel too. As we said, either because you're not allowed to change at all what you had made up, or because changing from certain types of patterns could ruin the field. But I'm telling you, tefillah you can plant kitnes is for us here in Bavel, which is different than the halacha of the Mishnah, which was in Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara continues now with other teachings that Amalei Rabbi Yehuda L'Ravin Barav Nachman, other things that Rabbi Yehuda said to Ravin, once we introduce this, which relates to halacha of the Mishnah, the Gemara says other things that Rabbi Yehuda said to Ravin Barav Nachman. Said Ravin Achi, said my brother Ravin, Hani Tachli de Bekisni, this cress, which is called cretion, which grow amongst flax, Ein Behem Mishum Gezel, if there's no halachic problem about robbery for theft, whoever comes and takes out, rips out the cress from amongst the person who has that has the flax growing over there, because actually he's doing the owner a favor by taking out the cress, because it actually ruins the flax more than the value of the cress itself. So by taking it, there's no theft because you're actually doing a favor to the owner. But if imdes al gavulin, but if the crest was actually on the boundary of the plantation, it's not amongst the flax itself, then yesh b'mishum gezel, then there is a halachic problem about theft because that's not ruining the flax and therefore it's considered stealing that person's crest. Now, but vim hukshu lezera, if however that crest, that shachalayim stayed there such a long time until it fully grew already that even the seeds inside are hard, then the fill the bekis nami yesh b'mishum gezel, then even if it was growing amongst the flax, it would be considered theft if someone takes it out of that person's field. My time, what's the reason? Because my da'afsit, afsit. The loss that it caused is already caused the loss, already ruined whatever it's going to ruin the flax. And therefore, by ripping it out from the ground and taking it, not helping the flax, and therefore, now you're just stealing that guy's crest. You're not doing me any favors. Another teaching, Amalei Rav Yehuda L'Ravin Barav Nachman. It says, Ravin Achim, my brother Ravin, Hani Dili Dilach, that which is mine is really yours. But Dilach Dili, what's yours is really mine. In other words, there are trees that I have, which actually the produce belongs to you. And there are trees that you have that the produce, the fruits belong to me. And the reason for that is because our fields border each other. And the boundary that we have is very high. Now, there are trees that we have planted, which they're planted in mine. I mean, the roots are in my ground, but the actual branches are coming out into your field. And then there are those that are in your field that are planted in mine, and they get the nourishment from me. So there, we have both ways. There, those are planted by you, but the trees, the fruits come out by me. So although it looks like my tree, it's really yours. And then those that are look like yours, but are really mine. Because he explains, he says, Noig b'nei mitzvah, the custom of people that share the boundaries, that ilon hanoit lekan, if you have a tree that the roots are leaning towards one field, lekan, that's where the fruits go. And that where the roots are one place, that's the one who gets it. So although it looks like my tree because it's in my field, it's really yours because the roots are by you. And same thing in the reverse. Now, as he says, didma, like we learned, that this is a halacha that Rav had said. Ilan ha'emet ala meitzer, regarding a tree that's on the boundary, Amar Rav, he says, anoita lekan lekan, that which it's the, where the roots are leaning from, that's actually where the fruits are supposed to go. Anoita lekan lekan, and where the roots are from the other one, that's where it goes over there. Shmuel Amar Chelkin, Shmuel says actually that they divided. It's not based solely on the roots, but actually if the roots are one way and the fruits are by the other field, they split the fruits. Now Meisvei, they asked on this halacha of Rav, which is where this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda was based on, from the following braisa. The braisa says, Ilan ho'imel al-meitzer, clearly talking about the same case, a tree that's on the boundary, yachloiku, which is like Shmuel, they split the fruits. To you have to Rav, that refutes Rav, who said that, no, it goes based on who, where the roots are. So says the Gemara, that actually, Tirgumer Shmuel, alib the Rav Shmuel, who although was supporting him, he actually answered that this braisa had to explain it for Rav, that is talking about mamalikol ha-meitzer kulei. That actually, that the roots are not in one place, that the roots fill up the entire boundary, that actually the roots go on either side of the field. So according to Rav, it's not difficult. The reason why they split it in that braisa is because actually the roots are by both. But if the roots were by one, then Rav could say that it would go based on the roots and they wouldn't split it. So the Gemara says, but if that's the case, that's the braisa toma where the roots are by both fields, so my lamem, so it wasn't necessary to say, of course they can split it, what else? So the Gemara says, Loi, no, tzrich, it was necessary to say it, the tali tune, it's where the load of the produce and the branches are lechad gis, are leaning towards one side. So even though it's leaning towards one side, but since the roots are shared by both, so they split it. So the Gemara says, vakati my lamem, still what's necessary to say? If Rav says we go based on the roots, and here the roots are by both, so why do you have to say that? Who's going to say that you're not going to split it, even though the fruits are leaning to one side? So the Gemara says, no, because ma'adu tema, what would you think to say? That although, yes, you have to split it because the roots are by both, it takes up both sides of the boundary. But that the one who the branches and the fruits are in his field would say, okay, let's split it. You take the part of the tree that's in your field, and I'll take the part of the tree that's in my field. So although the roots are by both, but actually the one of them has the whole branches basically and all the fruits. So you would think that he could say, okay, let's split it, but I'll take what's by me and you take what's by you. And everything's by him, so he's going to take all of it. Kamash Malan, do Amale, that's the chiddush that the other one could tell him. My chaz is the pagat hochi. Where do you see fit to split it based on the length of the field? Palagachi, split it to the width of the field on the width of the tree. So in other words, if let's say the fields are going from east to west, let's split it north to south. So in other words, cut it perpendicular, where then it's going to be a fear half and half amongst the two fields. Another teaching from Amalei Rav Yehuda l'Ravin Bar Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda said to Ravin Bar Rav Nachman, says, Ravin Achim, my brother Ravin, loy tazvin, do not acquire an ara desmichta l'masa, a piece of land that's near to this city, where everybody sees constantly what's going on over there. Why? Amar Bavo, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Asalei la'adam sheyamad al sedei chaver. Rav says the following halacha, says, person not allowed to stand by his friend's field and be looking in, b'shor she'emedes b'kameseh, at the time when the crop is standing, when it's all the beauty crop are there. Now the reason for that is so that he shouldn't cause any harm to the field with what's called ayin hara, the evil eye. Jealousy, he's going to be looking, it's going to cause some type of spiritual malady because of that. So therefore he told him, don't buy a field, don't buy a piece of land right next to the city because everyone's going to be seeing what's going on and everyone's going to have an ayin hara. Now the Gemara asks, is that so? Is that really a problem about having a piece of field near a city, as you're saying, because based on ayin hara? But Vashkechinu Reb Abba l'tamidei d'Rav, Reb Abba encountered the students of Rav, and therefore we're going to quote a different teaching of Rav that seems to contradict this previous teaching of Rav. Reb Abba encountered the students of Rav, and Amalu, he said to them, "My Amar Rav b'hani kroy." What did Rav say in the following pesukim in Devarim? The pesukim there say, "Baruch atah ba'ir uvaruch atah basada." Blessed are you in the city. Blessed are you in the field. Baruch atah b'vayecha, baruch atah b'tzesecha. Blessed are you when you come in. Blessed are you when you go out. So they said to Rav Abba, "Hachayim Rav, this is what Rav interpreted the pesukim over there in Devarim as a blessing to the Jewish people. Baruch atah be'ir, blessed are you in the city. Shehi beischa samech lebeis haknesses. What's the blessing in the city? That your house should be near to the shul. That's a blessing that you're right next to a place of tefillah. Baruch atah basada. What's the blessing that you're blessed in the fields? That shehu nechasecha kroim lir, that your assets should be near to the city." So that in the fields where you work, that shouldn't be far. That's a blessing that a person shouldn't have to go into through the effort to have to drag all this produce from a faraway place. It's right next to the city where he lives. And this is essentially the contradiction where we see that actually a person should have his property near to the city, which contradicts what we just said before from Rav, because Ayin Hara, you should not have your property near to the city. But we continue. So they told him, Baruch Atah B'Viyecha, that blessed are you when you come in. What does that mean? When you're coming in from a journey, that you should not find your wife in a doubtful status of menstruation when you're coming back from a journey. And as Rashi points out, for sure, when she's a definite nida, because that's a disappointment. After a long trip, you're coming back home, you want the woman to be permitted. And Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, what's the blessed when you should be when you're leaving? What is Tzeisecha? That those who come out of your insides, meaning your children, should be just like you. Tzeisecha, it means what comes out of you, that the children should be just like you. That's how Rav interpreted the Pesukah. Now, the Gemara continues the conversation, but Amalhu and Rabbi said to those students of Rav that Rabbi Yechonon lo yamahachir. Rabbi Yechonon did not interpret the Pesukah like you just said from Rav. Ella, rather, he translates as follows. Baruch Atah Be'ir, blessed are you in the city, means Shehei Beis HaKiseh Samach L'Shulchanecha, that a lavatory, a bathroom, should be near your table, in other words, near your house, that you shouldn't have to go a far distance to get to the bathroom, where they didn't have the types of plumbing that there is today. They had outhouses, they had to go far away places. Now this that Rabbi Yechonon said in the term of your table, it's just because that a person should check themselves, if they could relieve themselves before they eat and after they eat, which is referencing to the table where a person eats. As the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, as it teaches over there, that if someone needs to go to the bathroom and he still eats, so he's like an oven which was heated up on top of its old ashes. You want to first clean it out and then cook the new stuff. So to after eating, that a person should relieve himself because the food that one eats pushes and churns out the digested food, and you want to relieve yourself after the eating too. Now, if a person has to go a far distance, sometimes what he has to relieve himself gets stuck and it causes type of illnesses like hadroikin. So therefore, it's a blessing when you're in the city that a bathroom should be near your table, near your house. Avol, based on Knesset's law, but it does not give the interpretation like Rav did regarding that a shul should be near your house, because according to Rabbi Yechonon, that's actually not a mila. It's actually not a benefit. Because Rabbi Yechonon Tamei, he holds the Amar like he says, as brought in Masechta Seif Chav Beis Amud Aleph, that Tzchar Pesiyas Yesh. Actually, there's a reward of the amount of steps. Rabbi Yechonon had said that we learn the fear of sin from a girl, and we learn the reward of payment from a widow. Because she told him, what do you mean? You're saying I have a shul in my house, in my town, and what, I don't get reward for every step I take? So though I have a shul by me, but I come all the way to your base medrash to study and to pray, that's a reward. So it's not such a blessing to have a shul right next to you. It's actually a reward in taking that long trip to get to the shul. Baruch Atah Besada, blessed are you in the field. What did Rabbi Yechonon translate? What's the blessing is that if you could have your assets split into three different types, which are shlish betfua, a third in grain, shlish bezesim, a third in olives, b'shlish begfanim, and third in grapes in a vineyard. The reason for that is because sometimes you could have a year that the grapes and the olives don't work out, but the grain will work out. And sometimes you could have that the other two, in other words, as long as you have diversity, you'll have something that will be survived, that you'll be able to maintain yourself. So that's a blessing. And when it says, Baruch Atah B'Viyecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, bless you when you come in, bless you when you go out, it refers to Shetei Yitzi Aschem and Oilam can be Aschel Oilam. In other words, you should be blessed when you're coming in and so too when you go out, just like as a person goes out, a person should go out of the world like he came into the world, which is Mabi Aschel Oilam Balechet, just like when you came to the world was without sin, Afi Yitzi Aschem and Oilam Balechet, so too when you leave the world should be without sin. That was that discussion between the two different interpretations. One thing, the question was, it was said over the name of Rav, you should not have a field near the city because of Ayin Hara, and yet we see that Rav says, what's the big blessing of Baruch Atah B'Sadeh? It was that your plant, your field, should be close to the city. So that seems to contradict. But the Gemara continues, I'm in base, and says, Loi Kasha, no, it's no difficulty, no contradiction, Rav on Rav. Because Ha, the Mahadulei Shura, the one that says that it's a blessing to have your field near the city is that the person has a wall of ariska and a fence made out of branches. So there's no ayin hara because no one could see. So it's better to have it near the city that you don't have to schlep your stuff from very far away. Ha dule mahadule shuv ariska. The first halach of Rav was someone that there's no wall. Everyone's going to be gawking and seeing everything all day, and they're going to say, oh, this guy, whatever, jealousy, ayin hara, all the different things. And therefore, that's not good. Don't have a field if there's no wall near the city. Mark continues with a related discussion that there's a pasuk in Devarim that says, V'heisa Hashem imchol kol chayla. Hashem will remove from you, the Jewish people, all illnesses. Now, the word kol choli sounds like Hashem will remove from you something that all illnesses are contingent on that. So what is that? Amar Rabbi says, zu ayin. That is, as we were talking about in the previous discussion, that's the eye, the evil eye, that causes all illnesses. As the Gemara says, Rav l'tamei, Rav goes according to his opinion, because the Rav, solik lebe kivri, Rav once went to the cemetery, Ovid my David, he did what he did, meaning as Rashi explains, he knew a certain incantation to say on the graves, to understand on every single grave what caused that person to die, if he died in his appropriate time, or if he died because people were jealous of him, had an ayin hara. And Amr, he said, Tishin v'tisha b'ayin ra. 99 of them died from the evil eye, what other people had on them. And only one died in his regular way, in the normal thing. So that's what he says. Kol chayli, essentially, is the ayin hara, that Hashem will save you from that. Shmuel Amr, he says, Zeharuach. It's a reference to wind. Because Shmuel Tamei, Shmuel goes according to his opinion. Damar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Hakol Baruch. All illnesses and the consequence of death are all because of the different winds that blow. Meaning everything according to the certain time and the person. There are certain people that certain winds are hard for them at a certain time, but ultimately comes down to the wind. Now the Gemara asks, well, the Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, Ha'ika Arugi Malchus, what do you mean? There are people that die by the government that takes a sword and cuts off their head. What does that do with the wind? Says the Gemara, no, Hanach Nami, those also, Ilav Zika, if not for the wind that would go enter the area of the wound, Avdilahu Sama Bachai, you'd be able to take a certain medicine which connects the flesh, the separated piece of flesh, which is a certain types of herbs, as the Gemara says above Basta, Ein Dalm Beis, and that would connect the flesh back and the person would be able to heal, and you'd be able to take the head that was chopped off and put it back. It's only the wind that comes in, that causes the air to come in, that causes the ultimate death. B'chaninam, he gives a different interpretation. Zutzina. This refers to cold. Domer B'chanin, he says, Hakol b'dei shemayim, everything is in the hand of heaven. Chutz mitzinim pachem, which Rashi translates over here, except for a cold wind that blows. Now, that's not the same as what Shmuel said of wind, because Shmuel was talking about wind, even if it's not cold, harms a person. He's talking about specifically cold. Shnem, like it says, the pasuk in Mishlei, tzinim pachem, a cold blow, meaning from that's a wind blowing cold air, B'derech Ikish is in the crooked path, the one who protects his soul will distance himself from that. So it's the cold that ends up causing all illnesses. Rabbi Yisrael B'chanin, he says, Zu Tzaya, referring to excrement. Ta'amamah, like the Master said, that Tzaya Sachaitim and Tzaya Sa'izim, the mucus of the nose and the waste matter of the ear, these types of excrements that come out that are excreted from the human body, Ruben Kasha Meyutin Yafa. The majority of them, the excess of them, that causes harm to the person. But a little bit is necessary. You need to have that little bit of mucus. If you get too dried up, that's also not good for the person. But ultimately, he says all the illnesses come from the excrement of the body. Blazam, he says, Zumaritz, actually referring to the gallbladder, where the bitterness, the gall that's there, that extends and it manifests itself and spreads throughout the limbs, the sinews, and the bones, that causes all illnesses. As the Gemara says, Tanam Hoch is similar in the Brisim. The Pasuk says that if you'll serve Hashem your God, He will bless your bread and your water. And it says, Vasereisi machl mikerbecha. And the Pasuk says this in Shemais Chav Gimel Chafei, and I will remove all illnesses from amongst your midst. Says the Brisa, what's machla? What's all illnesses? Zumara is referring to the gallbladder. Why is it called illness? She machla kol guf shalom, because it's what makes the whole entire body ill. The Ba'achar, another interpretation, is actually machla. The numeric value of machla, mem is 40, ches is 8, lamer is 30, he is 5. She shmeinim mishleisha chaloim tlum mara. The reason why mara is called machla is because there are 83 illnesses that are contingent on the gallbladder. That's why it's called machla, which is numeric value. But v'kulam pashachas b'melech, but all these 83 maladies, having bread in the morning with salt, as Gemara will later learn from Psukim, and v'kitin shalmayim, and a pitcher of water, which that's only for someone that doesn't have wine, mivat lasan, it actually nullifies those 83 illnesses. As the Gemara brings to Rambam in the Braisa, Yud gimel dvarim nemru b'pashachas, there were 13 different attributes that were said regarding having bread in the morning for breakfast. Matzalas minachama uminatzina, it protects from heat, protects from cold, uminazikin, and from wind, like Shmuel had said, which he says all the illnesses come from wind, it protects from that. Uminamazikin, from the harmful spiritual forces in the world. Umachkim espesi, it makes a fool intelligent, because once he eats, he has the bread in the morning, his mind is settled, and he's not afflicted by being with hunger. Moreover, if let's say he has a court case with his friend that he's settled and he's clear in what he knows how to present to the court, so he's going to win this court case. It helps for someone to learn Torah and to teach Torah, because again, since he's settled in his head, he's able to learn and be able to teach. Udvav nishmam, his words are heard when he talks to others, because he has the heart to explain and to give over what he's trying to communicate. V'tamud miskam b'yada, he's also able to maintain the learning that he learns. V'im b'sar ma'ala hevel, and his body, his flesh, does not produce waste matter and sweat and perspiration. Moreover, v'niskak l'ishtoy, because he's going to eat bread for breakfast, he's going to have relations with his wife. V'ein misav l'ishacheres, he's not going to desire another woman. In other words, as Rashi explains, if he's a person that has a lot of thoughts about licentiousness and women, so since in the morning he feels good because he ate a little bit, so he's going to have the energy to be tevea for his wife, to request to have relations. So when he's going to go out later in that day to the marketplace and see all these other women, he's not going to desire them because he already had his wife relations in the morning. Moreover, it also kills the intestinal worms that a person has in his intestines. V'yeshem, some say af meitzi esakin, it actually removes jealousy, because when a person is his heart is not settled, when he's not satiated with bread, he's very easily angered. One of the things in emotion regulation is to eat appropriately, so it actually removes jealousy, umachnesava, and it actually brings in love. Now, Amalei Rabba la Rava Bar Mar, he asked, related to this topic, Minoha Milsi Dharma Inchi, from where do they know this that people say, Shitin Rehiti Rohad, could run 60 steps, and you're not going to reach a person that broke bread in the morning, that ate breakfast with bread. And moreover, the Rabban say in Arve Pesachim, these are the things that Rabbi Kiva taught his sons, that Hashkim v'ochel b'kayitz me'achama, get up early and eat breakfast in the summer because of the heat, because of the sun, u'b'cherv me'atzina, and in the winter because of the cold. So where do we know this concept that it's so great to eat bread in the morning? So Amalei says, the Chassidic, he says, the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Says la yirava v'la yitzmo, they will not hunger, they will not thirst. V'la yakim shar v'shemesh, and that the heat and the sun will not hit them, will not afflict them. And the interpretation of the pasuk is la yakim shar v'shemesh. Why will the heat and the sun not afflict them? Kiven de la yirava v'la yitzmo. Like the beginning of the pasuk said, because they did not starve themselves or thirst themselves because they had breakfast. That's why they're able to deal with the elements, that is the heat and the cold. So Malaysia responded back to him. Rabbi said to Rabbi Bar Mari, "At Amrit Limi Hasim, you're telling me from a pasuk in Nach from Yeshaya, and Vano Aminu Lach Mahocha, I'll tell you from a pasuk actually from the Torah from Shemais. It says, 'Vavadatim Hashem Lakechem, you should serve Hashem your God, Uverich Es Lachmecha Besmemecha, and He'll bless your bread and your water.'" Now, what does that mean? What's Vavadatim Hashem Lakechem? You'll serve Hashem your God. Zu Krishma Adfila. First, you got a daven. You say Krishma and you pray. Then the pasuk says, what's the next thing you should do in the morning? Uberech es lachmecha v'esmemecha. He'll bless your bread and your water, meaning du pas b'melech v'kin shamayim. That's that you'll eat bread with salt and a pitcher of water. B'kam ve'elach, if you already daven and you eat breakfast, from here and on, that's what the pasuk says. V'asirei simacha mekebecha, I'll remove illness from your insides, meaning you see that the blessing that there is by having bread for breakfast in the morning. Another teaching which we're saying on this daf from Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, but now to a different person. Rav Yehuda said to Rav Acha Meshucha, Rav Acha, the one who would measure, that is, he would measure the distances of lands for pay, for either for buyers or for sellers or for brothers or for partners that are coming to divide it equally, he would come and measure land. So Rav Yehuda told him, don't take lightly this job that you have of measuring properties. Because the chalpurta upurta chazla kukamarishka, every single drop of a piece of land is precious, because you could plant in that small area garden saffron, which is it's a very expensive and exquisite product, which therefore it's not a little thing. Even a little bit of drop of real estate is precious. So your measuring is an important job. So too, another thing that Amalei Rabbi Yehuda l'Rav Adam Shecha, that he said to this Rav Adam that would measure, he said, Dalal ames da nigra, the four ames that there are by Danigra. Danigra was a certain canal that was drawn from the main river to going to the fields on the side throughout that entire valley. Now all the people that had fields there in that valley would not plant, even though the stream, that canal would go through their properties, they would leave a width of four amis on either side of that canal, that it shouldn't ruin the canal which was there, which was dug. And they would, the one who would measure to make sure that every one of the properties in that valley would keep to this thing, measure it all at one shot. And he would put on posters and signs where you're not allowed to plow from here on, which is within that area of 4 amas of that anigra. So Rabbi Yehuda told him that that 4 amas of that anigra, zilzilbuhu, that you could take lightly. You don't have to be so precise to widen that area. But dan hara loytem shechinu klal. But regards to the main river of the entire town, that you shouldn't measure. Rather, you should give a large estimate, because you want it to be obvious to everyone, a wide and open area that no one's going to go within 4 amas, within the required area of the river, and go and plant it, which will ruin the area of the river. As the Gemara explains, Rav Yehuda l'tamei. He's going according to his reasoning. The Amar Rav Yehuda said that because arba amas da nigra, these 4 amas that go from the canal, which are just for the people of this area, is lebenei anigra. It only harms individuals because it's only for the people over here. Now, they have in their capacity to be meichel, to be forgiving, if let's say it's not exact, it was more than 4 amas or less, whatever it is, but they're individuals, they can be meichel. So therefore, you could take a little lightly, it's not such a big thing if it's not exact. But Dan Hara, but the main river of the city, the Kule Alma, that every single person is part of this river, so who's going to be Michael? It's when it's dealing with a large population, with a general populace, it's something that you can't take lightly. You got to make sure that for sure you have the requisite amount of maintaining the river, because if it gets ruined, everyone is at a loss, and you can't have everybody being Michael. It's too large of a population to assume that they're going to be Michael. Now, related to this halacha, the Gemara says, Amachas Reb Ami. Reb Ami would announce that if they find a river or trees that are planted at the edge of the river, that maloi kaspi nagdi, that you chop off in the width on the side of the rivers the distance that you need for the shoulders of those who pull the boats with ropes. Now, the significance is that when they were pulling the boats on the side of the river by pulling it, they would pull it on a diagonal. Because the reason why they had to go on a diagonal on land was because if they would go equal to the boat, the boat would actually pull them into the water. Now, whatever area they need to go, that's the area of the trees or whatever they're on the side, you have to cut down so that these people that pull the boats have room to walk, which is called the shoulder length, which is the from one end to the other, that they need to pull the boats on the side of the river. And you do this betray Avri Nahara, on the two sides of the river, kutsu, you have to cut down the trees, whatever's there. Because sometimes the boat is going one way, and sometimes the other way. Sometimes you need them to pull on one side, sometimes the other side. So on either side of the river, you have to cut down that many trees that require for the distance, the measurement of the shoulders of those who pull the boats. Now, Rav Nosson Mahoshia cuts Shitzer Amsa. Nosson Mahoshia cut down an area, the width of a Rishus HaRam, of a public domain, as the Gemara teaches us in the Mishnah Baba Basra, that the width of a Shur Saram is 16 amas, that's how much he cut down of the forest on the side of the river where he was. Now, Asale B'nei Mashrunya, so the people of Mashrunya, which is the name of a city, they came upon this Rav Nosson Mahoshia, because what he had cut down was actually their forest, which was on the sides of the river, and they started hitting him. Now, the Gemara explains, who saw a Krishna Saram? Rav Nosson Mahoshia thought that when you have to give room on the sides of the river, you have to give like the area that you need for a public domain. Now, Balahi says, Igmar, it's not the case. Hasan be'idin kuli hai. For a public domain, you need an area 16 amas wide because that's where all the public goes through. Hacha mishumam tuche ashlein. Here, the whole reason why we're cutting off trees is only to have the area that the sailors could pull with the ropes. That kimle kaspi nag disag, like as we said before from Rabami, that's enough if you just cut down the area that you could have the shoulders of these people that are pulling the boats, enough room for that. You don't need to have 16 amas. And then they started hitting him, why are you cutting down a whole forest, 16 amas, when it does need that width on the sides of the rivers? Now, the Gemara continues with a story related to these halachas, that Rabbi Bar Avuna, Havaleh Hu Abba, he had a forest, a gudud nahara, on the edge of the river. So Amrulay Nekut Smar. So the people told him, let the master cut down your trees. That's the halacha, that by the river you need to give room for people to go on the side of the river. So Amalahu, he said to them, Kutu Iloi Vitatoi. Let those who have the forest on top of me and lower down from me, let them go ahead and chop down their trees on the side of the river. And then I'll go ahead and chop down my trees. Now the Gemara wonders, how could a Talmud Chacham go ahead and say such a thing? But for Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Safanya, his Keshishu, the Kashu. search by yourself, and then search by others. Which Ba'amar Shlokashi explains, what that means is, first gird yourself, first take care of your own problems, then worry about other people's problems. So if the halacha is that you have to cut down the trees, why is he saying, oh, let him do and then I'll do? No, you have to do what's right, and then go ahead and tell others what to do. So why is he saying, let them cut down first and I'll cut down mine? So as the Gemara Hasam over there, that Abba, the forest that was on top of him and beneath him along the length of the river, was not owned by a Jew that they're going to chop it down of their forest to allow this halacha, but rather it was the Beparzik Refilahava. It was one of the Persian governors who he knew was not going to cut down the trees. So therefore he was essentially saying, what's going to help if I cut down my trees? Why should I lose mine for nothing? Because Va'amar, he said, Ikaitsu Kayatna. If they cut down, I'll cut down. But v'loy kaitzu my acres, but if they're not going to cut it down, because I know they're not going to, then why should I cut it down? Because the imam tachiluhu ashlayu, if the sailors are able to take and pull their ropes to come from one place to another place, from one village to another village, along the entire length of the river, so mistaglu, then they'll come on this side. But as we continue to talk about kavchesem and al v'loy, but if they can't, loy mistaglu, then they're not going to be able to go the entire side. In other words, they're going to have to, anyway, by default, go on the other side of the river. Because since if they're going to come on this side, they're not going to be able to, because the non-Jews that are on top of me and beneath me, when they're going to come to, if they're going to come where I am, they're going to anyways have to go to the other side. So what's going to help? They're going to have to anyways go. Let them just go the entire thing on the other side. They're not going to, it's not worth it for them. They're not going to come on this side just for the area of my forest when beneath me and on top of me, there's anyways forest that they can't go and drag the boats there. So therefore he said, let them cut it down, then I'll cut it down. Now the Gemara continues the incident that Rabbi Bar Nachman have a ka'azal ba'orba. Once Rabbi Bar Nachman was on a boat. Now chazahu abba the koya gudin nahara. He saw that forest, meaning the forest that Rabbi Avuna had left, he saw that on the edge of the river. Now the reason why Rabbi Bar Avuna had left is, we said, because the non-Jewish people were not going to cut it down anyway. But Rabbi Bar Nachman didn't know that was the reason. He didn't know that the upper and the lower forest beneath him were owned by non-Jewish governors. But so he saw the forest by the edge of the river, that it wasn't cut down. There was no room for the people to pull their boats over there. So Amalhu said, Deman, whose forest is this? Amalei, they said to him, the Rabbi Bravun, it's owned by Rabbi Bravun. So Amal said, Rabbi Rav Nachman said, quoting a pasuk in Ezra, the Yad Hasarim has gonem Haisul Bamal Hazerishaina. That was in the hand of the princes and the nobility, that they were the first to commit the misappropriation. In other words, he's trying to say that here we have a Talmud Chacham, and he's doing these violations himself. So Amalui said to them, Kutsu, go ahead and chop down his trees. This is not right. You know, you have to leave room. And Kutsu, they cut down his trees. So after Rabbi Bar Avuna, when Rabbi Avuna came, Ashkeche de Kaitz, he found that his trees were cut down. Amar, he said, Man Katsi, whoever cut down these trees, Tukets Anfei, let his branches be cut down. Reference to a person's children who are their branches. So Amri, they said, Kulish Neder Rabbi Rav Huna, all the years the Rabbi Rav Huna was alive, La'ikayim Le'zara L'Rabbi Rav Nachman. Rabbi Nachman, who was the one that had his trees cut down, did not have children, again, because of the curse of Rabbi Rav Huna, who felt it was unjustified, where again, he had a reason why he didn't cut it down, because there was no point, because of the forest that were on top of him and beneath him.